Okay, so the gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandal. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." God help us to understand this text and its meaning for our lives. I pray the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, would be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. So, as you noticed, I have two gospel readings this morning. Because it just works out this way, that Epiphany of the Lord and Baptism of the Lord fall one day apart from each other. So yesterday was Epiphany of the Lord, today is Baptism of the Lord. And that's why I put it on the back of last week's bulletin, so you could read ahead. Epiphany of the Lord celebrates when the wise men came to Jesus and his family and gave Jesus the three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gifts symbolize Jesus' mission. Gold represents his role as king. Frankincense, mixed with incense, is burned in the sanctuary and speaks of his deity. Myrrh, used to embalm dead bodies, speaking to what would happen later in his ministry. They're all great gifts. But as we can see, the wise men went to King Herod first, the appointed king of the Jews by the Romans, asking about another king of the Jews that was just born. Not sure they thought that one all the way through. Unfortunately, when King Herod figured out that the wise men had not listened to him, he sent his army to eliminate all the babies around Bethlehem, 2 years of age and younger. It is labeled in history as the Massacre of the Innocents, which by then Joseph, Mary, and Jesus had escaped to Egypt because of a dream that God had sent Joseph. We do not hear much more in the Gospels about Jesus' youth, with the exception of one more entry in Luke, about when Jesus is in his teens and he is left in Jerusalem at the temple on accident. Today's gospel and teaching is about Jesus' baptism as recorded by Mark. Now Mark is a Greek Christian. We heard from his gospel a little on the second Sunday in Advent. We talked about John the Baptist and that he was baptizing people in the river Jordan with water, but that when the one who is more powerful than him comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Today's reading, Jesus comes to be baptized. Now, I have always understood that Jesus led a life that was without sin. John was baptizing and telling the people to repent and turn from sin and change their lives. Why then did Jesus come to be baptized? Several of my commentaries suggest, and I agree, he did it to be an example for us. In the military, we call it leadership by example. If you're not willing to do something that you ask your subordinate to do, don't ask them to do it. In my case, cleaning bathrooms, hallways, cleaning rooms, doing laundry, any number of things that need to be done on a ship. If I was unwilling to do it myself, I should not be asking other people to do it. Jesus did not need to be baptized. But he knows that he is going to ask people to do just that after he is in heaven. He sets the example. The Gospel of Matthew records it as the Great Commission. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." So we are going to follow Jesus' example, and we are going to have an opportunity to renew our baptismal covenant. The Book of Order says that renewal and a fresh commitment is appropriate like this. In the lives of believers and in congregational life, there are special occasions of awakening, renewal, or commitment. These are appropriately celebrated through the reaffirmation of the baptismal covenant. People should be encouraged to share these decisive moments and stirrings of the Spirit with the session, so that they may be acknowledged and affirmed in public worship. This has been a practice since our interim pastor, Ken Reeby, had been here and observed the practice on Baptism of the Lord Sunday. It gives us an opportunity to remember our own baptism when we were younger or older, and to recommit to the vow either we took or our parents took on our behalf. Now, like I indicated to Michael during the children's time, if you have not been baptized, please come up anyways. Please come up anyways and receive a blessing, like I indicated to Michael. And if you would like to be baptized, please let me know after church, and we can get that scheduled. As you come up, I want you to put in your hearts these words: I am a beloved child of God. I am worthy and believe in myself. I can do anything with the help of my loving Father.